Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of DC and Helwani. And oh my gosh, do we have a lot to talk about coming off Saturday night. Khabib Nurmagomedov's big win, of course, his retirement after the win. But first, I do want to tell you about season two of the ESPN Investigates podcast, which is now available. The Running Man tells the story of an obscure former Olympian and alleged serial sexual predator and how a 14-month ESPN investigation brought him out of the shadows. More than 50 men were physically abused and mentally manipulated by their quote-unquote coach for over 40 years until they banded together decades later to find justice. Subscribe and listen now to ESPN Investigates wherever you get your podcasts. And for listeners of this program, DC and Helwani, as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
I love John Gooden. He's like best
bow ties in the game.
Good night, good morning from Abu Dhabi on Fight Island.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this fourth week of October 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani Ariel.
I don't know ever if you point in the right direction. I think you point in the wrong direction every single week.
I forget because when I do my interviews on Wednesday, it's the opposite side. So did I get it right? I don't even know if you can.
Let me tell you something. I have no idea, man. I show up here to talk. You know, I bring the golden voice. I bring the golden voice of the Octagon to Monday's show to just talk. I don't know where I sit. I don't know where I stand. I'm just over here filled with so much of this Khabib energy that I'm exploding here.
Okay, so this might be my most anticipated show of our brief DC and Helwani era. Let's just tell the people very quickly what you've been through. You landed in Las Vegas at around 4 a.m. Pacific time.
And I got here 4.
Brief nap, and I hear you are ready to go. I mean, you just came from Abu Dhabi. This is the consummate pro in front of us right now. Daniel Cormier called the fights. The mascot of Fight Island, who was just there for 2 weeks, is in Vegas, has yet to see his family, and still says, no, I need to pay homage to my friend. How about that? Well done.
Hey, I'm all in, Ariel. I'm all in, right? You talked about me having 1 foot out, 1 foot in. I'm all in. You know, I got off the plane, took about 30 to 40 minutes to get the bags, got the bags, got to the hotel, quick nap, because I watched a little TV, right? I slept a lot on the plane. Up now, ready to go. I mean, I've been up for an hour just waiting, sitting right in this spot. There's a couch, there's a bed, there's a TV. I turned nothing on. I sat in front of an empty computer screen waiting for you guys to get me on the Zoom call so we could do the show.
And by the way, the nap, was it before or after you were telling everyone of the fake 47-yard field goal that you hit and the
that's bread. BS. Hey, that's true.
I mean, there was multiple camera angles of this story that you were telling people.
Everybody's out of their mind because they don't buy into the athlete that is Daniel Cormier. Listen, on every media tour, I did something fantastic. I threw a 50-yard touchdown pass at the Buffalo Bills practice facility. The UFC's PR guy was getting guarded by Anthony Johnson. I told the guy the route to run. 50 yards in the air, drop it in the basket, touchdown. At the Saints facility, I kicked a 47-yard field goal. Ask Rosendo Sanchez and Chris Costello. They will both tell you 47 yards. Rosendo was my holder at the Saints practice facility. I once shot 6-for-10 from 3-point line at the Atlanta Hawks basketball facility. I'm trying to tell you. And I also beat Stipe in hockey. There is nothing this guy can't do.
That one I remember.
But I have video of all this. I've put it on my Instagram, The Perfect Athlete. Go to The Perfect Athlete on my Instagram back in the day. I am doing every single sport known to man, and I'm doing it at a pro level. So when Walt Harris and Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler are all laughing, people have told me, when I was at the Bills facility, the coach walks up and goes, hey, DC, when I see you in the pocket, you look like a young Brett Favre. I mean, in his absolute prime.
They tell me
that I look like a young Brett Favre in his absolute prime. The way I gunner.
All right. Well, enough about that. DC, we would be remiss if we don't start off talking about the great Khabib Nurmagomedov. Mm-hmm. What a scene it was on Saturday in Abu Dhabi. You just got back. UFC 254 in the books. Khabib retains his title, and then he vacates the title. He retires. He shocks us all. We thought maybe he'd make it to 30. He says, no, I'm done at 29. I promised my mother that I would not continue without my late father, Abdulmanap, so I'm done. What an emotional scene. I said it was reminiscent of Michael Jordan after winning the championship in 1996, following the passing of his father on Father's Day, no less, crying uncontrollably. It was very reminiscent of that, in my opinion. So we have so much to dissect here, so much to discuss about his future and his legacy and the 155 title. But could I just ask you this right off the bat? This is a very good friend of yours. You were calling his fight for the very first time 48 hours later, and you could take this answer whichever way you want. How do you feel? Because I was emotionally like drained after that. How do you feel about what you witnessed 48 hours later?
I mean, I was almost brought to tears sitting at the commentary desk watching him sob in the middle of the octagon. And then as he was announcing his retirement, you look at the eyes of Javier and Rizvan and all the guys. Everybody's in tears, right? Because they understand that this is real, right? Khabib doesn't lie. Khabib doesn't play, I'm retired and I'm coming back. He just, if his mom didn't want him to compete without his dad, I get it, right? This was their thing together. From a young kid, everybody did all these tributes last week. John Anik did an essay that was out of this world, read a poem for Khabib and his father. This was their thing together. And if he is now the head of that household and he has to take care of his family, I get it, man. I get it. I was so emotional. I was taken back, but I was very sad, but I was happy. And I was happy that he competed in the way that he did, but also him having that weight of everything and getting through it in the, you know, right after his dad has passed away and doing it in such dominant fashion. I was happy for him, man. So happy for my guy.
Did you know he would retire with a victory?
No, no.
He didn't tell you.
No, he didn't tell us. He did not say anything. He didn't tell me anything. I saw him multiple times over the week. I was asking him about the training camp, asking him about how everything went. And obviously we had known of some underlying things that happened in the buildup, which only added to how nervous I was for him as he went in there. But if you know Khabib Nurmagomedov, he prepared himself to go out there and get the victory. And that's exactly what he did.
Okay, so you knew about the broken toe?
Yeah, and there were a litany of issues. There were so many more outside of just the toe. Wow. Yeah, I mean, there was an issue early in camp that had him sidelined for almost 4 weeks and nothing. You know, there were a number of things that he went through over the camp that really did hinder him. But I guess right at the end of camp, he started to look like himself last few weeks, and he knocked it out of the park.
So was there any point where you thought maybe he wouldn't make it to the fight?
No, I knew he was going to fight. I knew it just meant too much, but I knew that it could be potentially a tough fight, you know, tougher than expected originally. But he just showed, man, that even in the most, you know, in an unideal circumstance, he is still able to distance himself from this division.
Is that why he was so relieved when he made weight? Because obviously when you have a broken toe,
it's hard to run. It's hard to do everything. I mean, but think about this, though. If Khabib has dealt with injuries over the training camp, that means that he's not training as much as he probably would want to. This is a guy that's big. He has to make weight. He suffers and struggles to get the weight down. And if he's not able to train effectively, how do you get it done? So, yeah, it was a massive weight off of his shoulders when he got on the scale at 155 pounds.
All right. So now let me ask you this. And I know I'm kind of peppering you, but like the world, I feel like I'm asking these questions on behalf of the world because everyone wants to know what you think about the whole situation. Do you think this is really it for him? Because we all know about retirements in MMA, but he seems a little bit different and his reasons certainly feel a lot different. In your heart of hearts, to see him at his prime looking so good and dominant, 32, do you really think he walks away at 29-0?
So here's the problem. When Khabib says, guys, this is my last fight, right? When he was taking the gloves off, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, wait a minute. He's taking them off or is he retired? Like, what's he doing? And I thought when John Anik, who picked up one, I didn't know, right? Because it was that's so left field for me because I've always heard 30-0. So to see him taking off the gloves, Anik picks up on it. I'm like, wow, he's actually retiring. I was like, well, I don't know what this means. Maybe it's some sort of contract tool because didn't Henry Cejudo's retirement feel like a contract negotiation? But when Khabib said, I spoke to my mother and I promised her this would be the last one. She did not want me to do this without my father. When he said that and he said, I give my word and it's the only thing I have, I was like, it's done. He's never lied to me, right? Maybe he has, you know, messed around. We've had fun. We've played jokes. We've done a lot of things. But the one thing he doesn't do is lie. And I don't think he would lie to his mother, especially in the face of what they're dealing with as a family.
And you don't think maybe 2 years they present him with some dream fight or something and he says, okay, let me get to that round number. You know, right now, I guess the best answer, correct me if you feel otherwise, the best answer is probably is right now he's retired. You never know in sports, right? Especially when you're dealing with a great, like when Jordan retired, I think a lot of people thought, all right, that's it. And then he eventually came back the first time, right? In 93. Right now, do you believe it 100%?
Yeah.
But maybe you're opening the door, or do you think it's, this is it. He will never come back. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Bro, I believe it. I believe that he's done because we had a conversation yesterday. We were on the phone for an hour talking about stuff.
Sunday.
We were on the phone for an hour talking about stuff. And immediately it was, how does Islam become champion now? Right. It was Islam has to be the champion now. And then we spoke about the things that I think Islam needs, or how I believe he can help him outside of just physical to get to the championship, right? Because if you've seen Islam Makhachev in the gym, he's much better than he has shown inside the octagon. So how does he make those things come together to essentially fight as Habib has a lot of the same skills, and his stand-up is fantastic. So when Habib starts to talk about that, that tells me that that championship reign and the belt, that's not really what's on his mind anymore.
He was in like pain afterwards, like from the cry. It was hard to watch, you know, and knowing the reasons, I said it on Twitter. I wanted to run home to Montreal. I haven't seen my parents in almost a year because of coronavirus. And I just wanted to hug them watching that.
Yeah.
The moment where he said to Justin, you know, love your parents because you don't know what happens tomorrow. Like it really hit me in the heart. And so I'm just wondering on Sunday, what was he like? Like, was he still sad? Was he still in pain? Was he happy?
Relief. I felt like it was relief. He felt relieved. I've never seen this man like sound so relieved, right? And wow. Every conversation is on FaceTime, right? These guys don't talk on the phone. It's on FaceTime so I can see him and read his expressions. And he had some interesting things to say about his future, the impact he's going to have going forward, his ideas of what he wants to see for the rest of the guys at AKA. He asked about all the Russian guys, obviously, Umar. We talked about Umar, you know, Usman. We talked about Islam and Zuba. But he also talked about Kyle Crutchmer and Deron Wynn. And he talked about all the young guys at AKA and talked about how we help these guys be who they're supposed to be to ensure that AKA stays as it's always been. Because for the last decade, we have held some portion of the UFC championship with at least one guy. That can't change. It's been title fight after title fight, right? From Kane winning it to losing it to JDS in 11, then winning it in 12, holding it to 15. Then I was the champion in 15. Luke was the champion in 15. I held the belt until 19. I had some portion of the belt till 19. Habib became champion 19. And now Habib's the champ today in 2020. So for 10 years, we've had title fights coming out of the American Kickboxing Academy. And he was very interested in how we get that next crop of guys to continue that history that we've all built and worked so hard to build.
Not to correct you, but Habib actually won the belt in 18.
18. Habib won it in 18, right? Yep. 18 Habib
the
won.
The point still stands, yeah.
Yeah, the point still stands, right? So for 10 years, we've had a UFC title fight, and we don't want that to change.
Quick side note here. I was going to ask you about this, but since you bring it up now, you're the captain. You're the face. Even though you recently retired, are you worried about, like, because you say this has been an incredible decade for AKA, but there's no one who's about to fight for the belt. There are guys coming up, Islam probably most notable, but you know, when we went from Fitch, Koscheck, Swick era, you and Kane and Luke were right there, and then Khabib came, the four horsemen. It doesn't feel like that group is there just yet. Are you worried about the next wave of AKA guys?
I think that we have guys, right? I think the guys that we have just don't stand out as much as the ones that took over after that first generation. But there are some fantastic Russian fighters that are coming out of AKA alongside the guys that we have, you know, like Crutchmer and Deron and Nick Piccinini. And we've got a number of fantastic young athletes and also more wrestlers coming into the gym. You know, Usman Nurmagomedov just signed with Bellator. I guess he's a phenom. Umar is still fantastic. But I believe that our best chance right now is going to be Islam because he's already on his way into the top 10. And it feels like he is what Cain was as Cain was making his way into championship contention. So I believe Islam Makhachev is the next guy. And I think that's where a lot of the energy needs to go, especially as he gets ready or hopes to get his scheduled fight on the horizon soon.
So you mentioned the word relieved, and I'm reminded of some famous moments in UFC history where we saw greats like Anderson Silva and Demetrius Johnson, and even GSP to a degree after the Hendricks fight, where they said, you know what, I'm done, and I feel pretty good about this. I'm relieved. Now, Khabib was champion for only 2.5 years, but the immense pressure that is on him from Russia, from the Middle East, from his team and his people, like, this guy is true. I mean, like, he's a leader, right?
Yeah,
yes. You feel like it's just got to be, like, it's a pressure cooker being a UFC champion, you know, better than most. Do you feel like he's just like, this is, I just don't want any, like, it's fine, I'm good with it?
No, I don't think that's what it is. I really think it's a personal decision based on who they are as a family. I don't think the pressure of being a UFC champion ever was, I don't think it's that hard for Khabib. The fame, right? That's the fame that he has now. You know, Saturday when he was going in the car barricade, or the car, what is it called? A car, whatever that stuff's called?
Caravan.
The motorcade, right? Right? As they're all going, John said something about Khabib being a worldwide celebrity. And I said, not in the world, but in this region. I misspoke. I was trying to say not only in this region, but around the entire world, yeah. Right? Khabib Nurmagomedov is a star at levels that none of us can really comprehend. He cannot go outside in his village to just go to the grocery store. He cannot go to Moscow and just walk around freely. I think a lot of times, as time will pass, he will be able to enjoy that a little bit more. But the pressures of being champion never got to this man. This man continued to train and be as committed as he's always been. And this is another thing I told him yesterday. I go, where people see you got better, what they never understood is I saw in you the maturity was maturing in terms of his ability to prepare. I've never seen someone like this. His ability to prepare and get ready was something that was unmatched. And that is where Khabib got better, more than just skills, mentally and in his preparation.
How difficult was it to call the fight?
It was hard. Calling the fight was hard, Ariel, because I want to do nothing but cheer for him. And as I was sitting there next to the octagon, he was walking right in front of me, and he made eye contact with me like 3 times. And he just kind of was like winking and smiling like, it's okay, right? Because I know everything that's happened. So he's like, it's okay. You know, he goes, I looked at you, DC, and it looked like you were so nervous. But the reality is I was okay, right? And my foot was like jumping. It made me nervous because I've never been in that position before. But I wanted to be fair to Justin because Justin's a fantastic guy and fighter himself.
Let the record show, by the way, that if this, in fact, is it for Khabib as far as active competition, his last words in the cage were, DC, I love you, brother.
Yeah, that's
that was nice, man.
It was nice. He's my guy, man. Like, we all have great relationships in this gym. You know, it was like a love fest last weekend. Me and Cain Velasquez were texting each other about how much we miss. I mean, it's just the whole world is changing for all of us. And the one person that I would like to go into his mind right now is Javier Mendez. Like, could you imagine what Javier Mendez is feeling right now? Within the last 3 years, Cain Velasquez has retired. I've retired. And Khabib Nurmagomedov has retired. Like, that's a big, big spot for a coach and a coaching staff. Like, what are these guys feeling? Him and Bob and Leandro. And what are these guys feeling right now as all these athletes? That security is all kind of going away.
Yeah, they'll be okay. It's like a championship team. There's maybe a rebuilding phase, but you have a very nice foundation there led by Islam, who I think is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And you've got some other guys, American guys too. And the name will attract people from all over the world. By the way, that car ride scene that they did, I loved it. It felt like HBO boxing.
Bro, it was awesome. That's why I was trying to, like, that's what I was trying to do, Ariel. When he was going, I had so many thoughts in my mind that I misspoke, right? Because all week I spoke about who Khabib was to the world, and I cannot believe I said that. I almost undersold him, and I want to apologize to him for that. But the reality is, when I went back and I said, They're all the boys are heading here, you know, led by Javier Mendez. I set the scene. Then talk about what's the champ feeling right now. You know, he's three fights to his. He's going to get in. He's going to wrap his hands. He's going to warm up and he's going to go to work. It just felt like a big, big moment. And even talking about it now, I'm kind of getting goosebumps because it was so fantastic.
Yeah, they did a great job. Now, okay, so we talked about the retirement. I want to talk about in a bit, you know, the future of the division, but can we actually talk about the fight?
Yeah, because I know, right?
DC, I think that was 20 minutes in. I think that was his best performance in the UFC, considering the guy he fought and everything he's been through leading up to this fight and even the injuries, to put that kind of pressure on Justin. And you remember, after the Ferguson fight, I said to you, if that Justin Gaethje shows up, I think he has a chance. Well, that Justin Gaethje may have showed up on Saturday, but Khabib is so good and so dominant that he made him look like the old Justin Gaethje, just throwing reckless punches and all that stuff.
Crazy.
And then the finish, DC, the kick to the leg, and then he takes him down and then transition to the mounted triangle, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw the video, that's the way Khabib started his career, with a mounted triangle submission. To end it like that is kind of mind-blowing. What did you think of the actual fight?
Oh, it was insane, right? The pressure he put on Justin, the moment he got like comfortable, he put so much I don't know if Justin hit him or what, but it's like he saw that there was really not that much threat. So then he started walking him down. The pressure, the punching, the jab, the stand-up. I thought his stand-up looked phenomenal. I thought his stand-up looked fantastic. Got Justin to land a lot of leg kicks, but also absorbed them. Got takedowns, and when he got the fight to the ground, it just looked like they were on different levels, right? Like, it looked like he was just so much more advanced than Justin, and Justin seemed lost. Even the first round, when he got up and he went for that armbar, it's like immediately transition, right? You knew that if the fight went back to the ground, Khabib would not be looking for ground and pound. He should go look for the submission. That's exactly what he did. It was his best performance to date. Now, he had lost the first round on two judges' scorecards. Like,
I was going to bring that up. How,
Ariel? How?
I have no idea.
How? I told Khabib this was a funny moment yesterday. He goes, the submission, brother, this is crazy. I go, Khabib, you had to. At that point, you were losing, right? Because he had lost. How? Like, how had he lost that first round?
Insane. But
there were a number of little things that played into the Justin Gaethje submission, right? And I'm grabbing my phone because I want to read this. I spoke to Khabib yesterday, and we were talking about it, and I said, I want to make sure I say it the right way. Okay. He told me when he was watching the interviews over the course of the week, right, he saw that Justin said he would never tap. Justin would never tap. And so when he was going to the submission, he said it's his dad's favorite submission, right? Wow. Getting to the mounted position, going to the armbar, going to the triangle. Wow. He said it was his father's favorite submission. So when he got there, he was going to do the armbar, but he had heard Justin all week saying he would never tap. And he didn't want to hurt him in front of his parents. So he went to the triangle and just kind of put him to sleep.
What? He's thinking about this in that moment?
He actually told me that, bro. He goes, I didn't want to hurt him in front of his parents. So I said, I'm going to go and put him in the triangle. And then if he goes to sleep, go to sleep. You wake up, you're fine. This is exactly what he told me. That's crazy, right? He did not want to hurt Justin in front of his parents.
That gives me goosebumps.
To be comfortable enough to think about this in the moment, you know, like, that's crazy. He didn't want to break his arm, because if Justin's not going to tap, you have to break it. And he didn't want to do that to him in front of his mom and dad. So said, if I put him to sleep, he'll wake up and everything will be okay.
Wow. That is incredible. And just speaks to the kind of guy that he is. But what about, have you seen the slow-mo version of him getting kicked in the leg and then like using that momentum to take him down and then to transition? Well, it was amazing.
Yeah, but that wasn't what he wanted to do. He didn't want to get he got blasted with the leg kick and knocked off balance, so then he shot the shot. But
again, the fact that he's able to do that is absurd.
The takedowns are so natural to him, right? That when he was falling, he figured don't fall back, fall forward into the shot. Like, I mean, yeah, it was beautiful. But that's his mentality, right? That's his mind. It just works. Like, it just works. Like, the dude's good, man. He's so good. I always wondered, right? So if you watch fights from the past, right, and guys that we had trained out of our gym, Cain Velasquez had that same type of style. Pressure, take you down, get in the clinch, beat you up, right? Get to the top position, ground and pound was insane. Cain was missing the submissions, right? If I got to those positions, take down, right, I didn't have as much control. Luke Rockhold fought a little bit of a different style, but when he got on top, Luke was very good at floating the hips. I always wondered, how would this look if this style was done perfectly, if the person doing it had everything, that's Habib. That's Habib. He has the knee control with his legs, right? All that control with the legs, he does it perfectly. He gets the takedowns with the pressure. I didn't get enough takedowns in bulk like Habib. I wasn't willing to go and get 20 of them. He is. He also had all the submissions. Like, it was like perfect. The style that he told me, I can't, it's crazy that now I'm retired. 2012, he goes, on Friday, I get a text from Cain Velasquez. He goes, I remember when I went to AKA, I think Cain Velasquez is the greatest fighter of all time, right? And I've seen his style. I want to, you know, do that. I want to imitate this style. He goes, and then Friday, I get a text from Cain, a crazy message telling me I'm the greatest fighter of all time. He goes, I watched you guys as a kid, and now what you guys just praise, he goes, it's insane to me. But it's perfect. That style, he has mastered it. It's absolutely perfect.
This is a selfish question, but isn't it a shame? I respect 100%, especially because it's his father, and I'm very close to my mom. You make a promise to your mom, you keep it. But isn't it a shame that we won't see him again anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see more of that, right?
It sucks because it seems like he's just getting more dominant, right? Before, there were a lot of decisions, right? Kamal Chalarus and Gleison Tibau. People are like, well, he lost a round to Gleison Tibau. Yeah, when he was 1-0 in the UFC, he was 1-0, right? And Gleison Tibau had fought everyone. And that talks to the level of competition Habib got right away, right? Kamal Chalarus is an Olympian, and Habib got to fight him in his first fight in the UFC. So that's the level of competition he had. And if you're going to kind of ding him for that, you're out of your mind. This guy has been at the top and fighting tough guys from start to finish. But as it's going on, his three title defenses, all finishes. All finishes. Mm-hmm. Finished Conor McGregor, finished Dustin Poirier, and finished Justin Gaethje. And it went faster. Fourth round, third round, second round. He was only getting better. Yeah. And he's leaving at the top of the sport.
I guess that will add to his legacy. Now, this is a love fest. And rightfully so, he's getting all the praise. And I just can't help but think of all the trolls who continue to say that I hate Habib. Like, trying to find something. So I'll give them something, okay? I'll give them something because they can't find anything in the first 20 minutes. It was love. Habib owes that dude who manned the scale on Friday.
Oh, come on. Ariel, let me ask you something. Ariel, the man that says what the weight is the man that has the final say. Sure. Dude made weight. Because you don't know, everybody's reacting like, oh my goodness, the scale was going up to the scale was going to go up and then go back down to the middle. It doesn't matter. That happens all the time. It goes up and down and it sways back and forth. I just can't believe all these conspiracy theorists because no one can just be, that's the knock. You guys want to try to knock that man for making weight on the dot? I'm saying, Ariel, for making weight on the dot? If he was 155 flat, which he was 155.0. That scale is going to go up, down, balance itself. So what? It didn't touch the top. The scale didn't touch the top. Once again, I got to ask people, when your eyes want you to see something bad in someone, it's going to tell you something wrong happened. So all these trolls, and I know what you're doing. You're trying to just mess with them. You don't believe this yourself. You're trying to just mess with these people on the internet. And they're going to be like, see, Ariel even said it. They're so crazy. You're trying to mess with them. But the reality is Habib Nurmagomedov stepped on that scale at 155 pounds. When he left the hotel, I saw him. I saw him get on the digital, and he was 155, got on the doctor scale, and it was 155 pounds.
Hey, and I'm happy. I mean, I think it's crazy sometimes that we, like, you know, get crazy about 0.2, 0.3. Whatever happened. I was just giving, you know, I was giving the trolls out there something.
You got to stop giving the trolls stuff.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
How about this? So Saturday, everything was about GOAT. Is he the greatest of all time? Here, I'll say right here now. He wanted it on Tuesday. I'll give it to him on Monday. He is the pound for pound king. I have voted every month. I vote for ESPN.com. It's myself, Brett Okamoto, Mark Ramondi, Jeff Wagenheim. And up until this point, I gave it to John Jones. This is the first time I'm giving it to Khabib because of how John has looked as of late. I thought he lost to Dominic Reyes, and because of how great Khabib has looked. Khabib is the pound for pound king, but of course he's no more, but I'm still going to give it to him for now. He's the man. He's the pound for pound king. Now, the GOAT discussion is interesting. And speaking of John Jones, John, from me to you, my friend, from me to you, I won't even ask you about it, DC, just from me to you, John, read the room, my man, read the room. Like everyone is praising Khabib on Saturday. I know you feel a little slighted, but the litany of tweets telling everyone why you're the best, like save that for next week, my guy, read the room. Give Khabib his day, give him his time in the sun, and state your case. I thought that was poor form on John Jones's part. Really, like, just give the guy his moment. But let me ask you, is he the greatest of all time? Is Khabib the man, in your opinion, number one?
When I look at Khabib, and I look, man, everybody gets mad at me because they go, you just hate John Jones. No, I don't. It's not just it. Like, the reality is, if you have a bad test, I feel like it eliminates you. And I know people like, well, Pete Rose and Barry Bonds, those guys should be in the Hall of Fame. No. If you cheated, you probably should. Look, wait, I like Barry Bonds
or David Ortiz?
Hey, one? Listen. Also, wait, let me get to that. So Barry Bonds, right, who I enjoyed, right? He played in the Bay Area. The Giants is right up there. I think he's a nice guy. And if you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, Barry Bonds, he probably was the best player in baseball before at that point too. But when he was the Hulk Barry and he's knocking 75 home runs a year, something's going on. And if you're failing test after test after test, it eliminates you. You're out. I'm sorry. So when you talk about the athletes that are eligible, I think it boils down to GSP and it boils down to Khabib. That's where I feel. I talk about GSP. I did an essay on Khabib. Georges St-Pierre, he's a fantastic fighter, got two losses. One of his last fights was a split decision win against Johnny Hendricks, but he's a two-division champion. That's kind of what separates them a little bit. When I look at him, man, George had close fights. Khabib never really got challenged. And to get to 29-0, that's why I talk about mistakes, right? George made mistakes. George made a mistake in the Matt Serra fight. Because if he wouldn't have, Matt Serra would never have beaten him. He was better, right? Khabib never made a mistake. So I think Khabib is the greatest fighter of all time.
It is a great case that you're making. But isn't it worth noting that at the end, GSP had 9 title defenses successful, mm-hmm. plus winning against Bisping, right? In the end, Khabib just had those 3 that you mentioned.
Let me ask you a question, though. But how many fights in did Georges St-Pierre get his title fight?
I'm just saying, when you have
the belt, but that's the question. How many fights in did Georges St-Pierre get his title fight?
I mean, maybe
that's the question.
Can tell us about
Corporate
that.
Corporate Jake, if you don't mind, could you tell me how many fights before George fought for a title? Because this is the reality.
He lost his first title fight, and that was to Matt Hughes. That was one
absolutely.
Of the
two. Absolutely. All right. So here's the question. Are you confident that Frankie Edgar or Benson Henderson would have beat Khabib Nurmagomedov?
No.
That's what I'm saying, right? So if he would have got – remember, but it was harder to say give Khabib a title fight back then because it was all decisions. It was a lot of injuries. The only time – For a long time, between 2014 and 16, the only time people saw Khabib was on your show. Like, that was it. Like, the only time they saw him was when he came. Because he was hurt, right? He was hurt all the time. So he would be on your show. That's when people would see Khabib. But are you certain those guys would have beat him? If he would have won that belt back then, he would have still gotten a 29-0 and defended the belt 12 times, 13 times. They would not have beaten him.
It's a fair point. Okay, so GSP's 4th UFC fight.
Khabib went 9.
Was a title fight, yeah.
Khabib went 9. He had to wait longer. And he was ready before 9. He was ready.
So I'm going
to
give you – I break it into 2 lists. Tell me what you think of my list. I give you the PED list and the non-PED list. And what I mean by PED, I'm not trying to be funny, just people who have infractions, right?
Yep.
This is the PED list right now for me. GSP, mm-hmm. Jones, Anderson, Daniel Cormier, Khabib. And why do I put him at the – you went up. Anderson, they all went up, and I feel like that counts for something. Now, I also don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. Maybe this changes in a year. Now, this is the non-PED list, okay? GSP, don't hate me. Daniel Cormier, Khabib, DJ, Fedor. That's so the non-PED list.
You're my guy, and I appreciate that completely.
You went twice. You went up.
Yes. I appreciate you. But if I'm doing the PED list, right, the guys that have done stuff, if I am forced, gun to the head, then I would say Habib is up. Habib.
Okay.
Then Jones. Then GSP. Then Anderson. And then Fedor. I would still put Fedor above myself. Non-PED list, I think you have Khabib, yep. GSP, DJ, Fedor, and then Henry Cejudo, myself kind of sliding into that last spot. But if you're putting those guys that have done stuff, I'm out. It may be further down too, right? Because then you got to start thinking about the other guys that have won championships from the past that may have done things wrong. So, but yeah, I think that Habib's number one guy in the pound for pound list of all time, We've never seen dominance like this. Hey, Ariel, he's never been cut. He's never been dropped. We have never been in the Habib Nurmagomedov fight and thought, oh my God, he might lose. Even the Conor fight, right? Conor may have won a round on the judges' scorecards, but how much do the judges' scorecards matter? Being that they gave Justin the first round in that last fight, it's like we never felt like he was going to lose.
In a weird way, him leaving early and on top helps him and hurts him because he leaves with the perfect record. But also, for example, Anderson has the record for most wins to start a career, 16 in the UFC. He leaves with 13. He probably would have smashed it. But now, so it's a hard thing. It's a fun discussion. It's a fun debate. We could debate it for many years. Now, let me ask you this. This is the big question now. So the UFC is now staring at life without Khabib. He was the gateway to the Middle East. He was the gateway to Russia. They did a deal in Abu Dhabi based on him. He fought in prime time. He brings out the luminaries. Well, now there's life after Khabib. Mm-hmm. And do you agree with me in this regard? I believe that the things at 155 have worked out perfectly for them. I don't think they want him to retire, but if he is going to retire and vacate the title, you got to make Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier for the vacant belt, right? And then you got to make Ferguson versus Chandler and Gaethje versus maybe a Charles Oliveira. What do you think? You don't seem to agree.
So if you want to do that, like, then you might as well make all eight and make it a big old tournament. But here's the deal.
They'll make tournaments.
But I know they don't, so it doesn't matter. But here's the deal. Conor and Dustin were talking about fighting at 170. All of a sudden, now it's going to be 55. Here's what I think on the 55-pound discussion.
Okay.
To eliminate Justin Gaethje out of the championship fight right now because he lost to Habib, it's absurd, right? It's absurd. He was the interim champion. It's absurd.
He's going to need some time. Give him the first fight after.
No, I think what you do is, right, you take Dustin Poirier, who was the interim champion before Dustin, or Justin. You put Justin Gaethje, who was the interim champion. The last two guys.
You're cutting out Conor?
Listen, because, dog, When you think about the weights and the wins at the division, right? I think you put those. I put this guy. If it's me, I would love nothing more than for Conor to be in a title fight with Gaethje, right? But with all the retirement stuff and all the, like, what happens if Conor does get the belt back? Does he just walk away for another year and then we're all kind of just waiting? Like, what happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, is Conor ready to come back and try to win a belt and then defend
as he wanted to fight three times? We don't need to revisit this, but he wanted to fight three times this year.
I get it. No, but I'm saying though, but all I have is the facts that it didn't happen. So whether it was the UFC or McGregor, it didn't happen. So is he coming back to stay or is he coming back, take the belt?
Okay, well, what if he says, I'm coming back to stay?
I would put him in a title fight. If Conor's back to stay, I put him in there with Gaethje.
What about you're cutting out your boy from Lafayette?
Bro, I love Dustin, but I'm saying Gaethje was the champion, interim champion going this weekend.
Why can't he just fight the winner?
I think Gaethje has to be in the title fight, bro. I think Gaethje needs to be in the title fight. He beat Tony Ferguson. He beat the man. Yes. He beat the man that was supposed to be the man. Dustin lost to Habib. Dustin hasn't really lost to anybody for a long time. Justin lost to Habib. Justin hasn't lost for a long time. If you're asking me, I am doing Gaethje versus Poirier, the last two interim champions.
First of all, Poirier beat him already, right?
Yes, he has, which makes a lot of sense, right? That's the intrigue. Is Justin new? Can Dustin do it again? And it's a guaranteed fight.
So you're the best way. January 23rd plans. There's no more Conor.
Justin Poirier. Gaethje said he can fight sooner. I'm trying to get him back in there early, or I'm waiting until he's ready to fight him and Dustin Poirier. I just think that Justin Gaethje has to be a part of the title conversation.
So what's Saturday your final answer? Because you've given me two options. What's the final
Saturday
answer?
Saturday night I said Gaethje versus the winner of McGregor Poirier, right? But that's going to take too long. The belt will be on the shelf for too long. You got to pull one of them.
No. And what if Conor Poirier fight for the belt and he fights the winner?
So Justin Gaethje has to just sit on the side and wait?
Well, he typically says he likes to take 4 or 5 months in between fights.
Bro, I'm putting Gaethje in the title fight. Gaethje needs to be in the title fight.
Yeah, but he is going to be in a title fight against the winner of that fight. His next fight is for the belt.
Bro,
you want him to be fighting for the vacant title.
I want him to be fighting for the vacant title as the guy that walked in there on Saturday as the interim champion.
Okay, against who? Pick a guy.
Dustin Poirier.
What? You're crazy.
The last two interim champions fighting for the belt.
Who does Conor fight? Ferguson?
Ferguson. Same night.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So Conor's going to be co-main event. All right,
Conor's the main event.
Conor's the main event over the belt?
Yes. Conor's totally the main event. Conor's the main event over the belt. Conor's the main event.
Conor is bigger than the belt. That was the problem.
Conor's the main event. Yes, because you're missing what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
No, you're missing. No, because you're trying to steer me down this path. The reality is I don't know how often Conor's going to fight. If this is the Conor McGregor from back then that fought anytime, anywhere, sure, put him in a title fight right now. Because he'll be around, he'll be fighting, he'll be defending. Look, Habib hasn't fought much, right? Habib hasn't fought much because of Ramadan. Like, 2019, he fought once. 2020, he fought once. Like, do we want to have the belt on the shelf for a year again? Like, I know it's going to sound like, oh, you had no problem with it when your friend had the belt. But no. It's like, what if Conor, what if Conor decides to box? He takes the UFC title to a boxing match. I don't know.
Later, here's the thing. Conor Poirier is a massive fight. You don't really need a belt for that fight because I think we both agree that Conor's a draw with or without the belt, just like the Cerrone fight. But you sprinkle a little title there. You get Conor in a title fight. Okay, things worked out. Let's say he wins. He beat Dustin, different guy. Okay, let's say he wins. Now all of a sudden he gets on the mic. Maybe he calls out Khabib. Maybe you have a chance to revisit. I'm not saying Khabib comes out, but I'm just saying him with the belt is probably good for the UFC. No, is it not?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Gaethje. Him versus
Gaethje. It absolutely is. Conor with the belt. Look at me. Conor, look at me in the face right now. You and Conor both, because Conor's going to say something. Conor with the belt is a good thing if he's there to fight consistently. That's it. If he's there.
I think he's there to fight consistently. I do.
Well, if you're so sure of that, then yes, Conor with the belt is good. But you cannot cut out Justin Gaethje, man. And dog,
I'm not saying to cut him out. I'm saying he fights the winner.
If both of these dudes had titles, if they were both interim champions, let them fight for the belt. That's what I feel like. You are the last two guys to hold a portion of that belt outside of Khabib Nurmagomedov. Let's see which of you two can carry the full crown. That's my thought. Because when Khabib wasn't around, Ariel, those two guys showed that they were better than everybody else to get to the interim championship. How does this not make sense to you?
It makes sense. I just feel like he likes to take time off. He likes to take time off.
He told us on Saturday he wanted 6 weeks.
I'm going off his word. Historically, he likes to take time off. I think the UFC has a good predicament. They've got the biggest names in the game vying for that belt, itching to get in there. Let's see how it plays out. We got to move on to other things.
Ariel, I looked at the rankings and I was like, bro, it's a good division. It's still going to be major fun, right? Because like
Chandler,
if the belt can be elevated by anyone, it's if McGregor gets a hold of that title, right? Because no one's as big a star as Conor, you know, and Khabib was like, you know, on that level. Nobody else matches Khabib and Conor at this point. But if Conor gets his hold of the belt, then it's legitimate right away again.
Okay, let's move on. By the way, shout out. Why? Talk to Corporate Jake. I don't know. They got a plane to catch or something. Maybe you have a plane to catch. You have a plane to catch.
I do.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Phil Haas, Volkov, Murphy, Ankalaev, Bam Bam Tuivasa.
Bam!
I mean, they all looked fantastic, but we have to talk about Robert Whittaker. Mm-hmm. And now you talk about predicaments. Here's the thing. Robert Whittaker just lost to Izzy a year ago. He's 2-0. He looked great, looked phenomenal against Jared Cannonier. Now, the UFC says, Dana White in particular says, yeah, that's appealing. DC, let me tell you, it's not appealing to Izzy. So now we have an issue. What do you do? Because Izzy's now talking, and his coach has talked about this as well. Eugene Behrman came out and said, we don't want to run a bad. Why? Why do we have to run a bad? We just beat the guy. Let's go up and get Jan's title at 205.
Really?
But doesn't it look weird if for the longest time we were trying to get him to fight John Jones at 205, and now John is gone, and now he goes up to fight?
Yep, it does. It's not a good look for Izzy. It's not a good look for Izzy, right? Because
why not fight Hermanson Till winner then if you don't want to fight Whitaker?
But bro, like, I'm glad you said it because we love Izzy over here, right? A lot of times we fawn over Israel Adesanya. If he goes up and fights Błachowicz when he has kind of refused to fight Jones at this point because he said he wanted to take time to build into the weight class to clear out his division, not a good look. That tells me you don't want to fight the guy. That tells me you don't want to fight the guy. I told you a couple weeks ago, it's hilarious what he's doing because he won't fight Jones. So the way he kind of pokes at him and prods him, but if he goes up to 205 and gets a hold of that belt, there is no way around him fighting John Jones. So it's going to happen because the moment Jones says, I want to go to 205, the UFC should feel almost obligated to give him a title shot, right? Even though I don't like the guy. If he says I'm back at 205, immediately any contenders, any number one fights, they all go out the window. He steps right into the title shot. Adesanya gets a hold of that belt. Trust you me, Jones will be back to fight him the moment he can.
So isn't that maybe a good thing? Should the UFC then do it and forget about Whitaker?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the fans.
And then forget about Whitaker and just let Izzy go up.
Bro, I think the way Roberts look, man, he has earned it. But here's the thing about Whitaker. If you ask Whitaker about another title fight, he'll be like, okay. But if you say, no, you got to fight somebody else, he'll be like, okay.
He loves being champ, right?
Well, it's a lot of stress, like you said earlier in the show. Like, it's a lot of stress. And he went through some wars with Romero. He went through some wars with a lot of guys to hold on to that title. And what did he do immediately after he lost the belt? He took a 9-month break. Yeah. He got away. You know, he's got 3 children and another one on the way in January. Like, Robert Whitaker's living a good life and fighting and competing better than he has in a long time because there's just no stress. I was talking to him in the fighter meeting, and he said, if they want to give me a title fight, sure, whatever. If they don't, I was like, Rob, is this a new thing? He goes, no, I just never would say it publicly. He goes, I'm so free now from all that extra that I can just say this publicly and not really care about it.
So then do Izzy versus the winner of Till / Hermanson in December. And then if he beats that guy, then maybe he goes up to 205 and fights Jan.
Where do you go with Rob? Because the reality is you cannot not do anything with Robert Whitaker. He needs to still be active.
The belt, and he doesn't want to fight for the title.
He never said he doesn't want to. He said he's not going to just pine for it. He's not going to be everybody else. Like, bro, we all do it, right? We beg, we plead. Can I get a title shot? Can I get a title shot? He's not doing that. And there's something honorable about that. Like, when my time comes, I'll get it. You know, I like that.
Man, business is good right now. Business is good
for the UFC right now. Things are, bro, when I came back from Abu Dhabi, like, it's like you're flying. Like, things are so good, and I'm in line to call some massive fights in the very near future. Regardless of what happens at lightweight, I am going to be calling fantastic fights. Middleweight, fantastic fights. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Just want the fans to come back because those fights feel even bigger with them there. By the way,
Habib's fight the other day had a few people in there. And when he won, they started cheering.
I know. It was weird.
Did you guys hear that on TV?
I asked the UFC if there were 200 people in there, and they told me no, 20. I was like, what?
There were 20 people?
Yes, 20 extra. 20 extra.
Okay, 20 extra. But there were like 100 people in the building.
Yeah, so staff talking, and everything.
You're talking. You hear like the noise. You can hear it on TV?
Oh, I could hear it noticeably.
It was great.
Hey, by the way, shout out to the good people at the W in Abu Dhabi. I didn't even have to leave my house, and they're giving me praise. They're giving me murals on the wall. I know they watch us. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I look forward to getting my cake next year. You better have it ready for me on ice. All I'm saying is I appreciate the gesture of the good people at the W in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, W in Abu Dhabi was unbelievable. I could never have imagined it would have been that good a trip. It was crazy.
Okay, now we have to get serious here for a second because DC, on Friday, we actually talk, believe it or not, to the people, we talk a lot. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's like 10 times a day, so we're talking about other things going on. DC, on Friday morning, I said to you, Leon Edwards, who I have been working so hard to salvage his great career. The guy's won 8 in a row. I've worked so hard over the past, 16 months to keep him relevant, to get him title fights, to get him number one contender fights. I said to you, Leon Edwards has put out the blueprint as to how to torpedo one's career. I was so frustrated. I was frustrated. Let me tell the people what happened very quickly. Leon Edwards on Thursday turned down a fight against Khamzat Chimaev, said that the fight didn't make sense. He was unranked. At that point, according to my sources, he had turned down 4 fights since July. Short notice fight against the champion Kamaru Usman in July. Then they offered him Colby Covington after Tyron Woodley was for a moment, not ready, but eventually we got Woodley versus Covington. Then they offered him Jeff Neal, said no to that because he was blown. Then they offered him Khamzat on December 19th. As a result of this, they took him out of the rankings. He was ranked 3rd. Now, let me just say this. I think the UFC rankings are a joke. I don't give any credence to them. I don't believe in them. There's no credibility. I don't even know who ranks these things. So I didn't care about the rankings thing. This just adds to that. Like, this just proves that the UFC will do whatever they want with the rankings. However, I'll also say this. I agreed with the UFC being upset. At that point, you're like, bro, we offered you a title fight. We offered you the number one contender. We offered you a prospect and then another prospect. Like, what more do you want? So I agreed with their react. Like, to me, people were getting mad about the rankings. Who cares about the rankings? We all know that they're silly. They mean nothing. They did it to Nate Diaz. I don't care about that. But I agree. I want this to be clear. I agreed with the UFC being mad. What happens after that, DC? He goes on Twitter and says, I didn't turn anyone down and I'm still ranked. I'm like, yo, you're not ranked. And you turn down 4 people. And then what happens the next day, Friday? He accepts the Khamzat fight. He's back in the rankings. They're fighting in the main event of December 19th. I hate how we got to this point, but I actually love the fight.
This all happened? This stuff that you said happened? I know you told me Leon, like, messed up his career, like, messed up his ranking, but, like, so, yeah. Well, I saw that him and Khamzat was made, but I didn't know all this underlying stuff happened to get there. Yeah. Great fight. I mean, we find out very soon how real Khamzat Chimaev is.
And we find out how real Leon is, too.
No, Leon's real, right? This fight does not determine whether or not Leon's real. Leon's real. The wins that he's had.
He has to remind people. July of 2019 was his last fight.
Yeah, but to win the fights that he's won, Leon's real. I think this speaks more to Khamzat. But if Khamzat goes through Leon and he buzzes through him, he gets a title fight. I hope everybody understands this, that you're going to have a guy that's in the UFC in 4 fights with 10 fights total on his career. He'll be fighting for the belt because he should be fighting for the belt. If he beats Leon, a guy that's won 8 in a row in impressive fashion, I'd be worried if I'm Gilbert Burns and everybody else in the welterweight division, because this kid will have so much momentum that he will go right into a championship fight against Kamaru Usman. And you cannot deny him, because if he gets past Leon Edwards, it'll be deserved. But you don't just get past Leon Edwards. Let's be honest with ourselves. And I read an article this morning on the airplane about Chimaev and Leon. And I said, it said the odds makers put Leon as a minus 160, Khamzat as a plus 150 on the odds. This thing has flipped completely. Khamzat is 150 negative. Leon's plus 160 now. People are going crazy over this young man. They're now betting that a guy who has 9 professional fights can beat Leon Edwards, who has won almost as many fights in a row in the UFC, opposed to a guy that has 9 fights completely. It's crazy how much faith the general public has in Khamzat Chimaev.
On the flip side, Leon should get a title shot if he wins.
Leon definitely deserves a title fight. That's the one thing I don't want to see, Ariel. I don't want Leon Edwards to beat Khamzat Chimaev. If he does, and they go, well, you beat a guy that's unranked. That's, hey, you forced him into this position because you believed in Khamzat Chimaev. You thought you had the goods. If Leon beats this guy, he should back into a title fight. That's the only thing that's fair.
So I said he torpedoed the career. He salvaged it. Leon, you know I love you, buddy. I'm trying to help you. Good on you for taking the fight. Shut everyone up. Get that W because you believe in yourself. And now they can't deny you anymore. And so I love this fight. And what a perfect way to end 2020. DC, this will be the last fight of this insane year. Leon Edwards, who we've been talking about, who had his fight canceled the first week of the pandemic, right, against Woodley, ends the year against the star of the year, right? The rising star who broke through this year.
It just makes sense.
It's symbolic of the year in many respects. And look, I get he's not ranked, but the guy is way more influential than any ranking could boost him right now. It's the fight to make. It's the fight that makes sense. I wish they didn't have to play the games with the rankings and all that, but in the end, the UFC gets what they want. And I give Leon a lot of respect. And I give Neil Magny, by the way, a lot of respect because he was sitting there with his hand raised the whole
time. Why didn't they do Magny?
They didn't think it would result in a good fight. Look, they're trying to make Khamzat into a star. Let's be real, right? And so I think that, you know, maybe they isn't that crazy? They chose Leon Edwards over Magny.
Leon Edwards is tough, man. If you underestimate Leon Edwards, you're crazy. Because Rocky is as good as they come.
Wow, what a fight. What a fight. All right, so that's the last fight of 2020. We do have to mention and talk about emotions and the roller coaster of the week. We do have to mention that this week we go from Khabib potentially, you know, done, saying he's done right now. And I'll respect him for that.
Oh, man.
To Anderson Silva. A week later, now 5 days later, the guy who has the record for the most victories to start a UFC career, one of the greatest champions of all time. I mean, Anderson Silva, everyone knows. The first ever Halloween show, by the way, in UFC history is headlined by the Spider, Anderson Silva, which feels kind of funny, going up against Uriah Hall. Is this it for Anderson? He said this is it, but then he put some qualifiers there. He says, last fight for me in the UFC.
I heard that.
I even asked his manager, is this really it? He goes, he says that, but you know Anderson, he changes his mind. Do you believe this is really it for Anderson Silva?
I take these guys at their word, right? When someone tells me, hey, I'm done, and you start making it public, it feels like it's real. And if it's done, it's done. Sad though, right? It just reminds me of a time that, at the time that everybody's kind of phasing out. And it kind of sucks, right? Because everybody's from this golden era of mixed martial arts. I remember my very first UFC event was Anderson Silva beat Forrest Griffin in Philadelphia. I was there with Cage Fighter, with Mike DeSabato. I walked into that arena and I sat there when Ain't No Sunshine by DMX came on and the place went mad. Roy Jones was there, who at the time was one of the best boxers in the world because he wanted to fight Anderson. I just was thinking to myself, this guy is bigger than this sport. He's bigger. He's the first guy that I felt transcended the UFC, and now fast forward 11 years and it's pretty much done. You know, he fought Forrest in like August or something of 2009. Yep. And now as we fast forward almost 11 years, Anderson Silva's going to be done. That's crazy. It's just sad, right? Like we've seen in the last decade, a lot of great champions come and now they're starting to kind of head out of the game.
Man, what a run. He debuts against Chris Leben on a fight night, not even in the main event. He does the little dance. He beats him in like 40 seconds, gets a title shot, annihilates Rich Franklin, kills his nose, beats him up twice, right? Then has the fights against Dan Henderson, which were great. And then you'll recall there was a little period there where the UFC like couldn't stand him. Dana couldn't stand him. Patrick Cote fight, Talis Ladies fight at 97. The Griffin fight was in response to the Talis Ladies fight because everyone was like, all right, we need to have Forrest Griffin. You know, he fights up and fights Forrest Griffin, who's going to bring the fight to him, right? And he just, like, breaks.
Demolished him.
Breaks him.
Killed
then
Forrest.
He responds to that fight with the Damian Maia shenanigans. I've never seen Dana White more upset. And then I remember interviewing Dana White that night and being like, are you going to put him in there against Brock Lesnar? Because, like, we were all like, you need to put him in there against someone who's going to break him. Who do they put him in there against? Our pal, Chael P.
The American gangster. Hey.
What a scene that was.
Greatest. Hey, we all have these rivals and we hate these guys. But greatest portion of his career was the Chael Sonnen phase, was mine with Jones. Like, it's like you hate the guy, but it's the best phase of his career was with Chael. Most memorable for sure.
Oh, he was 3 minutes away or 2.5 minutes away from losing. Follows that up with, to me, the moment that I thought really transcended him, like where he turned the corner. To me, the Vitor Belfort kick.
Oh, yeah. Kicked him in the face.
That was a big deal in Brazil because it was the past meets present. He was being treated as a big star in Brazil for the first time. Showed up to the Wayans with the Jabberwockies mask. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Legendary. The kick to the face. And let's not forget, in the midst of all of this, fought you at UFC 200.
Yeah, remember right that? on 2 days' notice. Yes. And I had that. Hey, I had that moment too. Ariel, I had that moment. I stood across the octagon and I go, that's Anderson Silva. Like, it happened to me. I was like, there's no way. I'm just going to beat him. I'm going to beat him up. And I was like, that's Anderson Silva. Then the dude kicks me in the side. That was the first time I've like actually had that type of reaction. Like, ah. And I ran away from Anderson. It was like, it was weird. Me and Big Nog were talking about this the other day. He was like, yes, Anderson, he kicked with his toes. I was like, I know. Like, I know because it hurt. But, man, I know I always say stuff like when you have a bad test, you're eliminated from the. I enjoyed Anderson Silva. I think he's the man. I like him as a person. I think he's a cool guy, you know, and I think that his fighting, it speaks for itself. But it seems like it's always the guys who don't need to do anything extra that always kind of do the thing that's extra. But mad respect to Anderson, man, and it's sad that he's going away.
Yeah, I hope if he wins against Uriah Hall, who has looked good and is with a new team now, Fortis MMA, I hope he walks away. You know, when I was talking to GSP on Saturday, and big ups to my guy GSP for coming on, it was just so nice for my soul to talk to him after the Khabib fight.
Yeah.
Referring to people who don't know when to say when, and you can make the case that Anderson probably should have retired a little while ago, but if he's able to get this win and walk out on top, I think it would go a long ways towards restoring some of that legacy. And I don't think we ever want to see our heroes and the guys who help make the sport go out on a stretcher as so many great fighters do.
Yeah. They go out on their backs.
Yeah.
They generally go out on their backs. And Anderson hasn't had to do that yet. He's lost fights, but we haven't had to see him just get demolished. But how about this one, though? Him and Uriah Hall. Remember, everybody thought, oh, this kid, Uriah Hall, is going to be the next Anderson Silva. Yeah. I mean, this is poetic justice, right? This is the best thing. Like, it would be like Isaiah Ryder playing in a dunk contest. Remember what they used to call him, the next Jordan or something like that?
You mean Harold Miner.
Baby Jordan playing Mike in a one-on-one, you know, or going crazy on, or watching Kobe in the All-Star game just kind of go right at Mike as the, I was trying to kind of switch hands, you know. It's like those are the type of things that you kind of live for, and I feel like we're in one of those situations right now.
What a great fight that is, and I can't believe we're actually getting to see it in 5 days, and I'm happy that Anderson is back. It's been a huge honor covering his career. I was there at UFC 134 in Brazil when he beat Okami. I was there at 153 in Brazil when he beat Stefan Bonner. The reaction to him, especially after the Belfort fight in Brazil and getting to cover those fights, is something I'll never forget. By the way, you can watch UFC Destin. They followed Silva and Hall leading up to this fight on ESPN+. And by the way, a great fight in the co-main. Bryce Mitchell and Andre Tucci-Feely. I love that.
They got Bryce's camo shorts, too. They got his camo shorts.
We're going to see that?
Yeah, they got his camo shorts.
I love
it. Bryce is in there.
I love it. Way to deliver. And by the way, way to deliver my guy. I just want to give a quick shout out to my guy, Dwayne Johnson, for the tweet this past week. It was nice to interact.
Oh, yeah, right?
You know, I shot my shot on the back end. I didn't get a reply on that one, so I may have shot an air ball. But still nice to get that recognition from the man. And also a great week coming up, Gegard Mousasi against Douglas Lima in a really big
Bellator. That's a big fight. Douglas Lima is the man.
Moving up to 185 to fight for the vacant 185 Bellator title.
That happened in Bellator recently, and the smaller guy got demolished.
Yeah, Rory McDonald.
Yeah, Rory got beat up bad by Mousasi, right?
Yep.
He got beat bad, so I don't know what's going to happen with Douglas Lima, but he is fantastic.
DC, so much stuff has happened. You were in the air for a lot of it. So much has happened. Bella Mier got her first.
Yeah, she got it done.
Pro win. Congratulations to her. Ken Shamrock was inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame.
And The Rock was on the video, right? The Rock was on the video. Ken Shamrock is crazy.
I'm noticing. Mason Jones signed with UFC, who I talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Cage Warriors double champ. Alex Pajeda, the guy who knocked out Izzy, is returning to MMA, signed with LFA. There's just so much going on. Even your guy, Roman Reigns, won last night. He cheated, but he won. I don't know if you saw that Hell in the Cell.
I didn't see it. I was on the plane.
That's right. That's right, man. So, and King Mo telling me about you uppercutting some guy in Dagestan and almost starting a riot. I mean, what's wrong with you,
We were wrestling. The guy poked me in the eye, so I punched him. It was just the way it is. Those wrestling matches back in the day, man. We used to go at each other, and we got to go to Mahashkala and wrestle. But they told me that when you go there now, it's a completely different the venue. That venue is like outdated and small. They built a massive venue, and a lot of it is with this influx of popularity the region has gotten with these great fighters.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what do you do now? You go home and sleep for a week?
Well, right now I go home I get to hang out with my kids. I go to wrestling practice tomorrow. I'm so excited about that. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to be home. I miss my children. I'm pretty sure my daughter is double the size as to when I left her, you know, so we're going to see. You know, I'm excited to get home and see my family. I miss them all so much.
But overall, the experience on Fight Island, capped with Khabib winning the way in which he did, you would say a positive one.
Fight Island was fantastic. I mean, I could have never imagined it would be so good. You know, they treated us like kings the whole time. And the travel was great. The UFC knocked it out of the park. Congratulations, guys. Dana, you guys did, I mean, something that no one else could have possibly pulled off. So great job.
I have to say, a little bit disappointed. I thought you would say, like, it was great, but would have made it better was having my guy, AH, by my side, you know.
Oh, like, just, no, just, no, it's okay. I have other friends, you know. I got some other friends that I hung out with, so yeah. No,
I mean, like, it would have been fun. We could have gone to the beach together.
I never went to the beach one time, bro. I was there for 16 days. I never went to the beach.
Why?
I never went one time. I just hang out, man, watch TV, play video games. Like,
you eat a lot because you made a joke about this.
I ate a lot, bro.
Okay.
I'm sad, Nate. I can't wait to get home and get in the sauna. That's gotta kind of get a cleanse going. A cleanse going.
And don't let these guys like Michael Chiesa bully you. I mean, these bros are in there. I mean, are you kidding me?
All of a sudden, you guys gotta leave Chiesa alone, man. Hey, I love my fans. And when Chiesa picked on me, they rushed to my defense. But don't do it to him, man. He's just getting started. And he's trying to just bust balls, you know, like be like everybody else. So give Chiesa a break. He did a good job. I was very proud of him.
All right. So to wrap it all up, Khabib will never fight again, correct?
No, I don't think he's gonna fight again. And wow. It was sad, but I'm happy for my guy. I'm proud of him.
I gotta tell you, man, I was emotionally spent. I can't imagine how you felt on Saturday. Seeing a grown man cry for his father like that, it really did remind, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, 1996, yeah. Michael Jordan, Father's Day.
Laying on his back, just hugging, clutching the trophy.
To see a grown man turn into a kid just because he misses his dad, and knowing that we saw his dad by his side the last time he was in there, it was strange, it was surreal, it was sad. The whole thing was just, it's one of those moments I can very confidently say we will be talking about that night forever, for as long
we'll
as
we'll never forget it. The sport. I went back and right after the show ended, I had like 5 minutes between the post show. I went into Khabib's locker and I gave him a big old hug and everybody just was red eyed. And we took some photos and it was just the perfect like capper for a great weekend, a great week actually, or 2 weeks. It was fantastic.
When you guys were like hugging, taking the photos, did everyone say like, call Ariel, like get him on FaceTime?
No, that was not once. Nobody ever said that. I guess we forgot about you.
All right. Well, DC, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you squeezing us in among all the flights and everything. You're the consummate pro. You really are. I don't care what anyone says about you.
I try to be.
You know, if we were in the same room, I would kiss you, dare I say.
Don't ever. Listen, don't kiss me. Don't ever try to kiss me or hug me. I told you. No, don't. Don't ever try to do anything like that.
Shout out to Robert Pearson. He got married secretly over the weekend.
Oh, congratulations, my guy, Robert. The man, Roberts. Stop saying his name wrong.
Sorry. Mazel tov to him and his beautiful bride. Thanks to everyone who continues to support us, downloading, subscribing, reviewing, rating, all the things that you do. It means a lot. It allows us to do the show. We love you all. DC, love you too. Have a great week at home. Back next week, same time and place. Till I say peace. We're out of here.